Ascent Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Way of the Wall Street Warrior. Conquer the corporate game using tips, tricks, and smart cuts. By David Liu, with Adam Snyder. Narrated by Patrick Lawler. Publisher's note: in this audio edition, you will hear references to illustrations, images, and tables present in the print and ebook formats of this book. Introduction. Game on. Congratulations! Whether you're just getting started in your non-existent career or contemplating a switch from your current job, the smartest thing you've done to date is to buy this book. If you bummed it off your buddy, then kudos to you. You've already taken one small step toward proving you have the right metal for earning a high salary in this dog-eat-dog world. The pearls included in this book may not be the first career advice you've ever received, but I guarantee these tricks of the trade will be the most valuable. As the title suggests, The Way of the Wall Street Warrior will show you how to use tips, tricks, and smart cuts to get hired, get ahead, survive, and excel on Wall Street, Main Street, or any other street where you're mining for gold. It comes from my experience as a 25-year investment banking veteran who did the unthinkable. I, an Asian American with a cleft lip and palate, rose up in the white, male-dominated world of high finance, becoming a managing director before the age of 33. I then left my high-profile job in my early 40s on my own terms while on top. While my lessons were learned on Wall Street, they're applicable to anyone, anywhere, working in any competitive corporate environment. If you can make it in the Machiavellian world of banking, you can make it anywhere. Wall Street is a jungle, the toughest jungle there is. I had a highly successful career because I learned how to game the system, and now I'm writing this book so you'll learn my tricks and avoid making the same mistakes as your peers. Unrig your mind. If you care about money, this book is for you. If you want practical advice without the BS but don't mind some acerbic humor that goes along with it, you're in luck. If the do-nothing in the cubicle next to you is earning more than you, or you can no longer stomach hearing your mother's sighs and your father's tisk-tisks, or you need a kick in the pants, listen to this book. Here's what you'll gain. You'll learn how to survive and thrive by not relying on the skills you mastered in the warm confines of the classroom. Instead, you'll learn from me what it actually takes to get ahead. Another reason to listen to this book is if you're stuck in a dead-end job. You might be severely disillusioned and filled with self-doubt. Perhaps you've been wondering if there is a secret handshake that will gain you entrance into the inner circle, or a magic carpet that will carry you up to the executive suite. Maybe you're the person who buys every how-to book you can get your hands on, hoping one might unlock the secrets for getting that coveted raise or promotion. Even if you have yet to reach this level of angsty ambition, I can guarantee you've seen dropouts become billionaires or buffoons become your bosses and asked yourself, "Why not me?" What's the answer? You already know because you feel it in your bones. The system is rigged. The Way of the Wall Street Warrior is going to unrig it for you. From a young age, we're pounded with the idea of meritocracy, that we're rewarded based on our talents. If we just study hard, keep our nose to the grindstone, and follow the straight and narrow, we can achieve greatness. These rules of engagement were pounded into my brain during my Asian American upbringing. The tenets of respect, honor, and obedience are an integral part of our culture. We're taught that if we work hard and obey the rules, life will take care of itself, and that in business you'll get promoted and do great. Horse manure. I got ahead by ignoring these rules. Most of what we're taught in school and by our elders are just guardrails put there to keep us in check. We know that getting the right opportunity is less about what you know and more about who you know, and that the easiest way to get filthy rich is to start rich. Of course, that doesn't work for most of us. So if you, too, feel fooled, it's time to come up with a new mindset and a new game plan. If you take this book seriously, but not too seriously, the tricks and tactics revealed in it will drop like dollars from heaven. Built with sweat, backed by science. I have more good news. The tactics in this book are not just something I made up out of thin air. In fact, they're based on scientific research in the fields of cognitive biases and behavioral economics. In Get Rich for Dummies terms, these disciplines use an understanding of human psychology to account for why people often don't act rationally, particularly in economic decision-making. Smarter people than I have won Nobel Prizes for their work in this field, and I'm here to summarize their most salient takeaways to help you get that big promotion and salary you've always wanted. I got hooked on the field more than 20 years ago, read every book I could get my grubby hands on, and actually applied what I found to advance my career. So, what are their conclusions? That human beings are imperfect and fundamentally irrational when making decisions. In my words, people can be stupid. The interesting point here is that there are creative ways that have scientific backing for you to maneuver events and attitudes toward your advantage. But don't worry, there won't be any pedantic lessons, Excel spreadsheets, PowerPoint gibberish, or 15-letter acronyms in my explanations. You've had a lifetime of that already. Instead, the way of the Wall Street Warrior will put in plain English the scientific basis behind my practical advice. Terms like affinity bias, signal-to-noise ratio, asymmetry of information, social proof, and Dunbar's number might seem like scientific gobbledygook, but a shorthand knowledge of each of them can give you the upper hand in any cutthroat business environment. And for those wanting a cheat sheet of the tips, tricks, and science covered in this book, you can sign up on my website, lucrative.com, to get a copy of my career codex. Lessons from the Elephant Boy. The first part of the Way of the Wall Street Warrior is where you'll learn how to edge your foot into the door and then how to dance the dance when you get there. It provides titillating tips about landing an interview, including scrubbing your social media accounts like leprotic calluses on gangrenous feet. This set of chapters will show you how to knock their socks off when you do get that one-on-one interview. From there, we'll learn how to play well with others, suck up, and how to have the adaptability of a cockroach, always show how and why you belong. Then again, if you haven't made it past square one, I'll have some gems about using failure as fertilizer, hosting short self-pity parties, and then going out and crushing it. The middle chapters of The Way of the Wall Street Warrior will focus on making your way up the corporate ladder. If you want to be showered with financial rewards and prestige, the name of the game is longevity, and that means making the best possible decisions to ensure your rise. Climbing the rungs motivates us because it promises more of everything, more compensation, more respect, more power. The middle part is all about how to lead the pack, like choosing an office consigliere who will point out for you the potholes and political landmines. Remember, with each promotion, the higher you climb, the narrower the room. So ally yourself with the senior person who makes the most money and carries the most sway. Soon, only one ass can sit on each rung. Make it yours. The final chapters are where we discuss the less critical aspects of your life, like your health and well-being, significant other, and progeny. I'm being facetious, of course, but sometimes when you're simmering in the pressure cooker, what should be most important takes a back seat to what you think is important. I'll also share some insights on wealth, creation, and the afterlife, aka life after making piles of dough. This section will stress the importance of developing a personal brand, not the one on your LinkedIn profile, but the description given when someone asks about you when you're not in the room. You always want to manage the answer to the question, "What do you think of Dave Liu?" One particular chapter close to my heart, yes, I have a heart, is Chapter 15, Turn Liabilities into Assets. I haven't always been the cocky guy who comes across in this introduction. In fact, at my ex-employer, Jeffrey's, I actually earned a reputation for having empathy for those who weren't making the grade or who were struggling to overcome personal issues. That's because growing up, and then when entering the workforce, I didn't have to be told I had two strikes against me. First, I'm Asian, and how many people of color do you see in the top echelons of Wall Street or on any well-heeled street, for that matter? But wait, it gets better. I was born with a bilateral cleft lip and palate, a severe facial deformity that, if left untreated, literally leaves children with a hole in their face. I was bullied and shamed, as kids thought nothing of gawking at me and referring to me as Elephant Boy. Ironically, being different, standing out in an obvious way before even opening your mouth, eventually had its advantages. As a junior player at Jeffrey's, at every meeting at which I was invited, I made a point of trying to make at least one interesting point. The thing about having a scarred face is that you're going to be remembered. So if I succeeded in making just one comment that wasn't totally stupid, I usually ended up being remembered as that smart Asian guy with the scars who spoke up. My disability also gave me a superpower, rhino skin. In life, you'll run into many obstacles on your way to greatness, and I truly believe that not giving a hoot about what people think of you will make you a better business person. It worked for me. It is my hope that this book will speak to my strategies for overcoming disadvantages, and that my story will be inspirational for others dealing with their own challenges. I've worked on Wall Street, Silicon Valley, and even Hollywood, and I have to tell you, they're all corrupt regimes where white men rule the roost and will likely do so for some time. Unfortunately, I don't have a silver bullet. I'd definitely tell you if I did. And if you're a person of color, a woman in a man's world, a member of the LGBTQ+ community, or a person with physical disabilities, being different can really suck. Fortunately, the media is starting to show some of the cracks through the veneer. But as an insider, I can tell you, it's even worse than you think. But all is not hopeless. Being different can actually be the recipe for being great. That might sound counterintuitive, but I'm going to show you how I did it. Although pay heed to the fact that I'm not going to tell you how you should do it. Nothing infuriated me more than a Caucasian person telling me what it's like to be Asian American, so I'm not going to pontificate about how I would do it in your shoes. How the hell would I know what walking in your shoes is like? I may be arrogant, but I'm not stupid. Just know that if an Asian elephant boy can rise to the top, there's hope for everyone. Also, if in doubt, I want you to know that every single tip, trick, or smart cut I have laid out is applicable to men and women, and whenever possible, I've tried to get a female perspective on the unique challenges faced by women in highly competitive and political industries like Wall Street. By no means are these ideas comprehensive, but my hope is they can help spur your imagination so you can crush it. Beat C-3PO. There are many books on how to build a great career. This one is for the awoken among you who accept that working hard in the corporate world with all its warts is rarely enough. It's for those of you who practiced sleight-of-hand tricks as kids, delegated chores to younger siblings, and checked vending machines for loose change. It's for you who have realized that the most successful people see opportunity where others see obstacles. It's for those of you who want to learn skills that will prevent you from becoming obsolete, particularly in the not-so-distant future when you'll be competing for work against robots like C-3PO. You won't learn what I am offering in any school. I spent over $250,000 at Harvard and Wharton, so I know what I'm talking about. Our education system doesn't teach the softer elements needed to succeed in the world of high-pressured corporate finance. There are no tactical courses at Wharton or Harvard Business School on salesmanship, emotional intelligence, EQ, or the human psyche, much less cognitive dissonance or biases. You'll need to slum it at a liberal arts school to find them. This book assumes you already have an out-of-the-park intelligence, so its primary aim is to help you take the next step and increase your emotional savvy. If you've never heard of EQ, that's a problem, because EQ allows you to identify and manage your emotions, as well as those of others. This book will teach you about EQ. If you have both IQ and EQ, in the business world you will be an awesome, unstoppable combination of Lex Luthor and Superman. Succeeding on Wall Street or whatever street is all about doing the least amount of work for the most pay. Don't get me wrong, you still need to deliver and create great work, or your career will be shorter than a reefer at Burning Man. But pace yourself. Be the tortoise, not the hare. Be the smartest person in the room by lying in wait and making others think you aren't. The secret sauce expressed in this book includes interview tips, exaggerate, maneuvers for getting promoted, you don't need to outrun the bear, just the colleague next to you, ways to fit in, memorizing the top business movies so you can wax poetic about how little Hollywood actually knows about your industry, and ways to cover your ass. Document everything. Memories are short. Emails are forever. I've also done a lot of work for you by summarizing key takeaways at the end of each chapter. Sometimes I'll read an entire book and want to scream, "Just tell me the elevator pitch! What's your point?" My summaries are like Cliff Notes for grown-ups, or those cheat sheets you bought off that brainiac in high school. You can thank me now. Part 1. Get in the Game. Chapter 1. Get primed for entry-level cattle calls. Clean your house. You think you've been demeaned, disheartened, or even abused up to this point in your life? You ain't seen nothing yet. During the cattle call required to find an entry-level job, rejection can come faster than a blunt, "better luck next time," four-word email. It's your first startling indication that even getting your foot in the door will separate the plebs from the potentates. The whole process of interviewing is ludicrous. If you do get hired, it's because you interview well, and not necessarily because you can do the work with any kind of competence. Interviews never made much sense to me because people perform differently in the field of play under the bright lights. Imagine signing a new quarterback through this process. He might give a great interview, but don't be surprised if on the first day of practice the dude can't hit a moving target more than 10 feet away. There's even a scientific explanation for it. It's called interviewer illusion. And it means the tendency for interviewers to overrate their own ability to interview and choose the best candidate. Who's the fool now? But we're not here to break convention, at least not this one. This tried-and-true method probably dates all the way back to the Ice Age, when the first caveman asked his fellow hunter, "You do know how to kill a saber-tooth, right?" Seconds before they were both mauled to death, he was probably thinking he should have done more due diligence. So, obviously, the first rule in this playbook is to learn how to interview well. That's a talent all by itself. But hang on. First you have to get the friggin' interview, so that's where we'll begin. Scrub those leprotic calluses. Landing an interview doesn't start with an email. It starts with a lot of prep work well before hitting the send key with your cover note and resume. It begins with cleaning your social media house. Before going anywhere near a recruiter, a friend of the family who might help, or even your school's placement department, scrub your social media accounts like leprotic calluses on gangrenous feet. This is the arena where multitudes of warriors have fallen. Like the dormant chickenpox virus waiting to reemerge as the shingles, your youthful hijinks can hijack your career. Now is the time to search, destroy, delete. Then search again, destroy again, delete again. At this starting point in the game, it's important to understand one very salient point. Corporate wonks have too many applications and resumes to cope with. Their mission is to find a reason not to hire you and hundreds of others like you so they can find the best three candidates worthy of an interview. If a quick Google search reveals a picture of you drunk on the roof of a house or having a penchant for racist memes, kudos for making their job really easy. At the entry level, it's often the human resources department you're jousting with. So imagine them spraying luminol all over your life to uncover your darkest secrets. They're the bouncer at the nightclub. Their ass is on the line if the firm hires a kleptomaniac, a slug, or a weaseler who got into Harvard pretending to be a champion coxswain. You obviously did lie because you have a dirty mind and don't even know that a coxswain is the person who steers the shell of a boat and is the on-the-water coach for a rowing crew. It's finally time to swab your Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and any of the other dozens of apps where you deliriously posted about your bro trip to Mexico mingling with the local hotties or your NSFW weekend in Jamaica at your best friend's bridal shower, all in the never-ending quest to get followers. Purge anything that shows you in compromising positions, especially your most cherished posts. As a good rule of thumb, if your visceral reaction is, "Dang, that's lit," then hit delete. You never know who is judging you. The TMZ test. Practice the TMZ test. Simply put, don't write anything or post any photos that you'd hate to see on the front page of a tabloid. That means if you've written anything you'd regret your priest seeing, it might be time to say adieu, French for until we meet again, to your favorite social media account until you're on terra firma, Latin for solid earth. Otherwise, you might be fucked, French for fucked. At the same time, understand that since we know that nothing is ever truly deleted online, your efforts at evaporation might not completely succeed. So come up with a plan B. If it's impossible to bury those pictures of you skinny dipping in the Red Sea or doing a keg stand on a diving board, then perhaps you may still be able to snatch victory from the jaws of defeat. Be prepared to smile earnestly and tell them you're an apostle of the work hard, play hard lifestyle. Even the most judgmental interviewers might envy you, or not, but at least you've given it a shot. Facebook and Instagram tend to be the top minefields, but buttoned-up LinkedIn can be equally treacherous. That's where most candidates put their resumes, but it's also where many feel the strange need to expose their inner selves or flaunt some higher purpose, like being on a mission to save all the pangolins in China. Remember, LinkedIn is not for making friends. It's your infomercial for getting paid. On the positive side, job hunting is also a great time to take a good look at your LinkedIn account and be sure it's up to date and reflects your talents in the very best light. Dispense with the douchey descriptors like Jack, Jackie of all trades, aka Master, Mistress of none, or Strategic Visionary, aka Good for Nothing. You'd be surprised how many bios I've seen that say at the top, Self-starter or game changer. I recently saw a LinkedIn profile headlined Futurist. Does that mean the person is a psychic? You might as well put as your headline Blithering Idiot. If you're thinking, oh dang, I thought I was actually being pretty clever, you're not. Instead, see how employees at your prospective employer describe themselves and do what every best-selling author does, copy and paste. Also, check your references and make sure their contact information is current. While you're at it, have a clear idea of what each person will say about you, especially those who might have something negative or even neutral to volunteer. References are one way for an interviewer to fill in gaps about you, information that might not be reflected in your resume or transcript. The interviewer doesn't want any surprises, and you'll always know more about yourself than your interviewer knows about you. Make sure you control your own narrative and have several apostles lined up ready to praise your miracles. Use asymmetry of information to your advantage. In contract theory and economics, this is the study of transactional decisions when one party has more or better information than the other. Don't be the ignoramus. Make certain you control your own particulars rather than some a-hole ex-boss or professor who thought you were too big for your britches. This is another reason why you should scrub your LinkedIn. An ex-boyfriend might have linked to you in the past because at the time you were BFFs, although on Wall Street we prefer the term asshole buddies because nothing is forever. But now you're foes, and largely through your own laziness, that enemy is now available as a reference for any prospective employer to find. There's nothing like a back-channel reference to torpedo your chances faster than a German U-boat. So get ahead of it and know what they will say, or better yet, de-link them from your network. Key takeaways. Interviews are unreliable and risky due to interviewer illusion. Prospective employers try to find reasons not to hire you. Social media is where your youthful hijinks can hijack your career. Scrub all of your social media accounts like leprotic calluses on gangrenous feet. Practice the TMZ test. Never post anything you wouldn't want on the front page. Due to asymmetry of information, interviewers try hard to fill the gaps. De-link bad back-channel references easily discoverable on social media. Chapter 2. Don't fight the tape. Diligence your way to an interview. In preparation for interviews, ask your close friends and colleagues what they thought of you at first contact. What were their brutally honest first impressions? Maybe your friend from kindergarten remembers you running around without pants, or another remembers how you were sullen and listened to Billie Eilish on repeat. Regardless, ask only for the bad or the things you need to improve. You probably already know what's great about yourself, but we're often oblivious to what makes us less than perfect. Why is it so important to understand people's first impressions of you? It's not just that you want to put your best foot forward and lock your worst foot in a safe room. People tend to hire those who are like themselves. It's all part of the field of cognitive bias, a discipline that uses psychology to explain why people make decisions, usually irrational ones. This field includes affinity bias, a concept that explains why employers tend to hire people who look like them and have similar beliefs and backgrounds. On Wall Street, there is a phrase, "Don't fight the tape." It means not to trade against the market. If stocks are rising, don't sell. Obviously, this can be shite investment advice, but it's a useful maxim when you're first trying to get in the door on a job or a deal. So go with the flow, study the heck out of the companies, and try to determine their organizational biases. You may surprise yourself with what you can do to appeal to their affinity biases. Diligence to death. Let's start off with the obvious. Before trying to learn something about the people who will be interviewing you, it's essential to know the ins and outs of the companies where they work. Go deep in your due diligence. Learn everything you can about the company's history, its hierarchy, its distinct departments, and what each department does. Which one most interests you? What role would you like to play, and what makes you a perfect fit? Nothing makes you look like a complete fraud more than not really understanding the job you hope to land. Be prepared.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?